with Judy tonight, and I think Nava is with the kids tonight. So they're in good hands. And Judy and I prayed, Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. And you know what happened? He did. He filled us with his Holy Spirit. That's available to us every day of the year. Amen? Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. The message that I have on my heart, I want to ask, I want to say, there's a new boldness that has come on me for some of these messages, especially on subjects like we're going to talk today. Today we're going to talk about godly motives for prosperity. Let me say that again. Godly motives for prosperity. And as we go, you'll see why I named it that. But how many know that there are some things said and done in the name of financial prosperity in the churches on the earth today that tend to give us, if we listen, tend to give us the wrong motivations? There are some. Would you agree with me on that? There are some that would tend to give us the wrong motivations. And I know one preacher that I really liked, so I won't name his name, very famous. I still like him. But he said in order to receive money, you need to ask God. You need to say, he didn't say ask God. And you might not need to ask God. You might just need to use your faith. You might just need to use your faith. But what this man said was you have to say, money cometh to me right now. And you have to say it three times. Okay. So this is a good man, a good preacher, someone I enjoy listening to. But how many know that you do not have scripture? You have scripture for saying it. You have scripture for declaring things. But you can't tell somebody, Cedric, you have to say it three times for it to work for you. You get a check about that, don't you? Something in you says, that's not right. Now, that doesn't mean I wouldn't listen to that preacher again. Doesn't mean that. You know, the Lord uses him. He's anointed. I'm just saying we have to be alert. And we have to say, hey, you know, this is good, but this is not good. So I receive this, but I don't receive that. We are supposed to guard our hearts with all diligence. Everybody say all. Guard your heart with all diligence. For out of it flow the issues of life. And I'm going to talk about godly motives. And along with that, I would say it's going to challenge us to have pure hearts. That is one thing I like about this church. And I've told you guys over and over that I love this church. I'm enamored with this church. I'm enamored with the people in this church. And it's because I've seen over and over again pure hearts. Pure hearts. The Bible says that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth in order to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect. It says in the King James, that word bothers me a little bit. It's a little, but it's okay. It's okay. Whose hearts are pure, whose hearts are committed, whose hearts are dedicated to him. He said he's looking. Everybody say he's looking. And God is looking, so we need to say, look no further. I desire, Lord, a pure heart. Show me, David said, show me if there be any wicked way in me. Show me if there be any wicked way in me. That's okay to pray. And the Lord will show you if there's something not right. But that's what we want, isn't it? Blessed are the pure in heart. And so we're going to talk about godliness, because I'm not going to throw out the message of financial prosperity because a preacher here and a preacher there said this or that that I don't agree with. I am not going to throw out something as important as financial blessings from God. Amen? I'm not throwing it out. You know, if the Jehovah Witness starts saying praise the Lord, or the Moonies start saying praise the Lord, I'm still going to say praise the Lord. Amen? I'm not going to throw it out because they're doing this and they're doing that. Maybe they just tapped on by accident on some of the things of God. And so, good, they say praise the Lord. Amen? And you could go on and on and name people that say praise the Lord. But I'm still saying praise the Lord, even though somebody does it a little squirrely. I'm a little squirrely. All right, so expect God to speak to you. Expect your heart, your spirit, and expect your mind to be renewed. Expect your spirit to be fed by the Word of God. You made the commitment to be here. We've got about 40 minutes. And as the Lord leads, we believe for the Holy Spirit to move in our midst. We prayed and asked God that the Holy Spirit would have His way, and that the Holy Spirit would speak to each heart, and that God would challenge each and every one and meet them at the point of their greatest need. And many other things were prayed. In fact, Brother Josh, you didn't know the title of my sermon, did you, before? We were in a pre-service prayer. Isn't it amazing? We have the same spirit. And in the pre-service prayer, he prayed out motives. You remember that? God, expose the motives of our heart and give us godly motives. And that's the message I have tonight, because I am not throwing out that positive Word of God message about finances. God wants to prosper each and every one in this church. God wants to prosper each and every one in this church. But I'm going to do my best to not do or say anything that's apart from the Scripture. And I'll tell you what, the Scripture isn't really limited. We can take the limits off of God. God wants to do amazing things with this church. And God wants to bless y'all with finances so you can be a part of it. Amen? Amen. And I'm getting ahead of myself. So I said, expect God to move. And as we gather together, we're like hot coals. We're like hot coals. And we feed each other the heat of the Holy Ghost. Amen? And we keep the fire burning. And I don't know who, but I tell you what, the Spirit of God said, with more of an impression upon me, the Spirit of God said that there is somebody here tonight that really needs finances, and that in this message, you will hear a word from God, and the word from God will be totally according to Scripture, and so God is good. Let's magnify the Lord together. Let's just take a moment and let's magnify the Lord. Let's put our trust in God. Let's know that God is the only true God, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ. We come before you, exalting you and making much of you, Lord. Oh, we're so thankful that we can know personally the only true God. We're so thankful in this place. Oh, thank you, Lord. We're so thankful. We lift you up. Holy Spirit, we're so thankful that you're here in our midst. You're in our hearts. But you said we're two or more gathered. There you are in the midst. You're in our hearts and you're here with us. And Lord, we are open at this church to the gifts of the Holy Spirit of God, the power gifts, the utterance gifts, and the revelation gifts, as you will tonight. as you will in this place. And Lord, help me, Lord, to continue to be bold with the message that you gave me, Lord, knowing that somebody needs to hear it. Somebody needs to hear it. And Lord, we thank you for the anointing, your presence, your presence. God will use anyone and everyone that yields themselves, commits themselves, yields themselves to God. He will use you. He will use you. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Has anyone heard of this lady? She's a Christian lady, Jenna Ellis, Republican, really helped concerning the last year's voting and helped Donald Trump. Have you ever heard of Jenna Ellis? Anybody here? Oh, well, I'll give you this. You could look her up. But she said this: don't forget, he, Jesus, is not a baby in the manger now. He's not a baby in the manger right now. We celebrated the wonderful birth of Jesus, the baby in the manger, but he's not a baby now. He is not a baby now. I want to add to what she says, but I better just read that. He is not a baby now in the manger. Today, at this moment, or for eternity to come, he is on the throne in victory. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. Oh, and he shall reign forever and ever. Light has overcome darkness. And now I can add to it, stick with the light. Stick with the light. That's what I'm doing. I'm sticking with the light. Oh, praise God. Well, he's good. Another word that I heard in my spirit this week was put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Has anybody here heard of Marilyn Hickey? You've heard of Marilyn Hickey. Anybody here? Marilyn Hickey. Dear sister in the Lord. Word of faith woman and a blessing. She had a church in Colorado called Happy Church. That's a good name for a church. And Marilyn Hickey would let the Lord use her to give out a word. Words that aren't in her sermon, but something that just dropped in her spirit. And when she did that, and I saw her do that a few times, different times when I've ministered, the Lord has impressed upon me to give out what I heard in secret. What you hear in secret from the Lord, he'll have a special time to give it out. It's not always right at that time, but he'll have a special time to give it out. So that might be for somebody as well. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I just want to preach, but I need to stick with my notes here for a while. I'm anchored in the word, all right? Godly motives for prosperity. It's about why you want to be wealthy, and the why is in giving. The why is in giving. Every message of financial prosperity that comes from the Bible should have attached to it giving. And not giving to me, Pastor Mike. No. Giving your tithes and offerings at your home church. Amen. but also giving to the poor. Amen? The Bible talks about that. And it seemed like it got a little heavy what I said about a preacher that said, you know, say this three times. But I have to say that because I said it three times. I was at the meetings. I was excited about saying it three times. But then I had to examine it, and I, you know, these things that this brother said are right on, and these things are not. And I have to separate that because we guard our hearts with all diligence. And I did, I think, Lord, don't need it. Okay, don't need it. Godly motives for prosperity. The main text, and let's turn to 3 John. Verse 2. And I have to say that this verse, as being my main text, is not original with me. Pastor Dwayne, when I talked to him about this message, he had told me, well, not right now, when I did present it a while back, said, not right now. But he said, we'd want it to be according to 3 John verse 2. So that's why I picked that as my main text. How many know it's smart to be in line with your senior pastor? Yes, says Sean Hawkins. Okay. But I love this verse. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth. Even as your soul prospereth. And so we cannot just talk about money and health without talking about our soul. Amen? Even as your soul prospers. That kind of tells me if I run out there trying to get money and even trying to get health, I'm trying to get into a place that I'm already in. By faith, we're already there. Amen? The word says it. That settles it. But we know that it's even as our soul prospers. And I think I wanted, in my younger years, I think I wanted to skip that part. As our soul prospers. Because that requires work and effort and time. It requires us to gain or to grow and to mature in wisdom. Amen? And concerning finances is no different. But we know, let's turn to Romans chapter 12. He's not going to put, I didn't give him these verses. I just gave him some statements and the title. Thank you, Kevin, for what you are doing, though. And Romans chapter 12, you're familiar with this, but boy, let's not get too familiar with scriptures that we don't want to listen when they're read again in church. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, that second hearing, that inner hearing. Oh, glory to God. Like I said, sometimes when you're studying, you just enjoy the word and you go on little trails and you're just excited how all the Bible is so perfectly connected together, so perfectly put together. You just can't beat it for its perfection. And so when you're doing that, sometimes you don't hear his voice, and then you get up, maybe you're going to go get a drink of water or a cup of coffee, and the Lord speaks drops. You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever put a coin in a machine to get a soda or something? The coin drops in. The Lord will speak to you that way. His voice, scriptural now, always scriptural, his voice will just drop in you and settle in there, and it's quiet. It's quiet, but it stands out from everything else. And you know the Lord has spoken to you. And what we learn as we grow, and I haven't been a real fast learner, but I've been in this long enough that even being a slow learner, I've learned some of these things. And so when that happens, now I'm writing that down. I'm not letting that get away from me like I did the other time. What did the Lord say? What did the Lord say? It was the Lord talking to me. What did he say? How important it is. And so in Romans 12, 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And one translation says, spiritual worship. Present your body. That's one thing I do when I lift my hands. I'm presenting myself, spirit, soul, and body. Presenting myself. It's worship. And verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. We need a continual renewing of our mind. And the more we get out into this world to work or to fellowship or whatever we're doing in our neighborhoods and homes, this world speaks to us and has voices. And we can reject that, as the Bible says, casting down imaginations. And every high thing that exalted itself above the knowledge of God. No. The knowledge of God says this. This does not need to change to adapt to this world's culture. The Word of God never changes. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This Word is good yesterday, today, and forever. So we don't have to change the words of this book in order to please the world and get a bigger crowd, for example. Then what you do to get them, you have to keep doing to keep them. So how far are you willing to go into this world's awful, devilish wisdom? The wisdom of this world is devilish. It's evil. And I could go on and on with that too. But I know you're in agreement with it, so we'll just move on. But we're renewing our minds. We reject greed. We reject greed. Do you reject greed? We reject covetousness. All the freedom I felt when I finally made a transition from always wanting more of what somebody else has. My wife and I were walking, going on a walk. I think we were Lake of the Isles, and there's some beautiful mansions and homes there. And they are beautiful, beautiful architecture and things like that. But what a freedom came to me when I didn't have to say, I claim that house in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, somebody else lives there. Somebody else lives there. What I need to claim is the house God has for me. Amen? And I can imagine and I can dream of whatever house I want, but I don't need somebody else's house. That's my point to saying that. And that's a freedom. That, you know, used to be if you had a Hummer vehicle, that's, you know, the ultimate vehicle, people would say. And we were just riding behind one on the way to church, driving behind one, and I said, I'm so glad I don't have that big thing, filling it up with gas, and, you know, we have what we like. We have a condo in Burnsville. We love it. It's just right for us. It's like it was made for us. That's what it's like. It was made for us. Well, what about this place? It's bigger. Doesn't matter. This is our place. And we are content with such things as we have. Are we going to have more? Absolutely. God is a God of increase. God is a God of increase. But I'm not going to not be where I am. I'm going to be where I am. Enjoy it. Give thanks for it. Use it for Jesus. Amen? I need to get into this message, though. All right. So we said what our main text is, and it's prosper as our soul prospers, but it does say prosper. So prosper is not a dirty word. And I know within the sound of my voice right now, there are people that have thought of it in a negative way, the word prosper. But it's a Bible word. And I'm not going to, it's like the rainbow, you know? I still enjoy rainbows. I'm not going to let the devil take the rainbow from me. You can do what you want with your rainbows, but I praise God when I see a rainbow. And I think of Noah, and I think of the covenant. And so, you know, he tries to steal our stuff, but we're not going to let him. Okay, so my proposition. I always read these because I get so off trail. Proposition, we know that faith begins where the will of God is known. For example, we just read that it is God's will that we prosper. So know that prosperity is God's idea, but we must also know about the wiles and the strategies of the devil. When it comes to any Bible truth, the devil will twist it and get people to take away from what God has said or add to what God has said. Just like he did when he spoke to Eve in the Garden of Eden. 4,000 years later, the devil tried the same tricks on Jesus with statements like, cast yourself off of this cliff, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus responded different than Adam and Eve. Aren't you thankful? He did the opposite. Same temptation, quoted a scripture, wrongly used, out of context. And Jesus said, it is written, it is written, it is written. And he took the Bible, say we're talking about prosperity, God's financial blessings in your life. He wants to bless you. He has blessed you, and he wants to make you a blessing. That's the purpose of the whole thing. But Jesus said, it is written, it is written, it is written. And so we need to be equipped with what is written. Amen? And so let me see, I did it. I stopped in the middle of my proposition. He shall give his angels charge over you, said that. One thing Jesus said back to that temptation, he said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Someone might say to you or I, well, if this is real, you know, prove it by doing this. We don't have to do that. We don't have to. What I would say to that is, I'm not playing your game. I'm not entering your arena. Okay? I'm fighting the good fight of faith based on Scripture, and I'm not going to yield to the temptation of entering into a conversation that is intended just to sow doubt and unbelief into my heart. So Jesus answered with the scriptures in the correct context, and after that, the devil left him for a season, and God's angels came and ministered to him. I'll just throw this in for free. The angels of God are encamped around about us. And they're encamped around about us, the Bible says, to deliver us. Did you hear that? The angels of God. There's more that is with us than is with them. Whatever the enemy is to you, concerning finances, because that's what I'm talking about. And God wants you to know he loves you, and he's your father, and he's a good father and a good provider. And his heart is broken when we go without. Poverty does not bless God. Poverty does not bless God. Just ask yourself, your father, do you want to see your children go without? Nope. That does not please you. In fact, the Bible says, I believe it's Psalm 35, that says, the Lord is pleased with the prosperity of his servants. He is pleased with the prosperity. He's happy. Oh, and Christmas time just got over, or maybe it's still going for some, but Christmas time, when you give something to your child, I mean, Judy and I were preparing a present for our daughter, and we had a great, great Christmas. Our daughter, her husband, teenage son came over, and then Travis, Judy, and me. That was it. Six of us. We had our Christmas. And when we were getting a present, well, we got stuck a little bit on the price at one point, and we were discussing, because we could go either way with this. Something that would make her really happy. She'd be really happy, because that's her attitude anyway. She's thankful, grateful, has a good attitude. And so we're looking at that, and then all of a sudden we just go, no, just the higher price. The higher price. We'll pay for it later. God's good. God's good. So my goal and assignment today is to establish what is written about your financial world. And I believe that his words will be engrafted into your hearts and mind, because it is the engrafted word of God that is able to save your soul. That's what the Bible says, doesn't it? The engrafted word. So, I have 4 points, and I'll just watch the clock and stop when it's time to stop. But I want to see if we have agreement up to this point, because there's no sense me going on and on and on and on. How many know that the word prosper is a Bible word? How many know? Most of you, some of you? Few of you? Okay. Most of you. The word prosper is a Bible word. And how many know that some people have used that word from the Bible and scriptures for selfishness? For selfishness. Okay. So, you know, and some of you are not sure or don't want to answer, but I believe you know it's true. I believe you know it's true. Okay, so we'll go on. And I need to give you four. Do I have four? Let me see. I have 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 godly motives to prosper. 4 godly motives to prosper. And I don't have slides for these. I have slides for my 4 points of my outline, but I'll just give those right now, because we've got a couple of note takers here. So the 4 godly motives to prosper. Number 1 is to provide for your family. Provide for your family. Provide for your family. And that could go many different ways. What about when your parents get older? Are they still your family? See, so I thought about this concerning healing. So think with me on this. When someone ministers or preaches on the subject of divine healing from the Bible, the Word of God, by whose stripes ye were healed, and your faith begins to build, doesn't it, when they minister on that? And it's something we need to hear every once in a while on a regular, it should be part of our diet. Part of our spiritual diet is to hear about divine healing. Amen? And I'll say that because we all have physical bodies and we live in this fallen world and stuff can happen. Okay? Stuff can happen. And so we need to minister on a regular basis because it's what we face. Well, so it is with finances. So it is with finances. I was thinking one day, how many times does the subject of finance come up in a normal day? If you're buying gasoline or going to the grocery store or thinking about bills or wanting to buy a present for someone. The thing about money comes up on a regular basis. So we need to hear what thus saith the Lord. We need to be fed concerning finances. Spiritually, we need to be fed on this subject so that we know what is written. And the human nature has a tendency to forget because of all the things that distract us these days, the things we can see and hear and touch, feel, smell, taste, so much going on in this world, the natural things of this world. But God contacts us through our spirit. Through our spirit. He speaks to our inner man. He doesn't speak to our outer ears. He speaks to our inner man. And the Word of God is faith food for our spirit. Faith food for our spirit. So the things that we face on a daily basis, we need to hear what it is, thus saith the Lord, so we can respond. So we can be confident in our response to the lies of the devil and the pull of this world. Amen? So I said five things. Number one, provide for your family. And I've got verses and whatnot on it, but I got to go by time too. So number two, to establish his covenant on the earth. To establish his covenant on the earth. How many know that God does not counterfeit money in heaven and throw it down? According to Malachi, the windows of heaven are open. And so he throws it down and it just flutters in the air and we grab it if we have enough faith. No, everybody say that's not true. God does not counterfeit money. That means that precious gems and all of these things of value are in the earth. They're all in the earth. He doesn't send them down from heaven. But he will give you ideas. He will give you favor. He will give you favor, which is worth a lot. He will give you ideas. He even gives people, and I know, and you probably know Christian people, to whom God has given witty inventions. And with that invention, they produce finances and they provide for their family, sure. But then they go around looking, like God, seeking for someone to bless. Seeking for someone to bless. And well, I have a little story to tell, but I better give these 4 points. Number one, to provide for your family. Number two, establish his covenant upon the earth. To provide finances for the gospel to go out. Number three, to give to the poor. To give to the poor. You know, I'll tell you one that a preacher said something, and I said, and I like this guy too, another guy. I like him. So who knows what I've said that people are saying. Pastor Mike said this, but And I like them, but I'm not going with that. Okay. But we grow and we learn. Amen? And so, give to the poor. He said out loud on television to millions of people, I don't give my money to the poor anymore. I don't give to the poor anymore because they're not a good investment. In other words, you're not going to get anything back from the poor person that you give to. You know what? That's one of the most ungodly things I have ever heard. It's one of the most ungodly things about Christians and finances, because we know we are making an investment when we give in the offering. We are investing. We're investing in the kingdom of God. Let me tell you something. There's some things I might just have to just spit out tonight. And what I'm led to spit out right now is that you and I have been translated out of the kingdom of this world. We have been born again, born from above. We're in a new family, glory to God. God is a family man, amen? And we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. The kingdom of his dear son. We have a whole different way of operating. And that includes finances. We have a whole, the world says giving money to church, tithing, giving to the poor, giving to people. That's foolishness. You're wasting your money. And then I heard one guy say that. So I went into the Word. And I found, and we'll look it up after I give this fourth point, give to the poor. Psalm 112:5, he that gives to the poor lends to the Lord. What do you mean it's not a good investment? You're just telling me how much scripture you have not read. Yes, or you haven't listened to it, but the man used to do that, used to give to the poor, but he stopped because he thought, no, what does the Bible say? See, that's how his kingdom operates. His kingdom operates on scripture, on what the Bible says. There is no difference, there is no daylight between the words of this book and Jesus Christ incarnate. There is no difference. Oh, we're in a new kingdom. We're in the kingdom of his dear son. We're in the kingdom of light. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. We're sons and daughters of God the Father. He's our Father. I was just reading recently that Jesus said that God is your Father and he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Imagine that. There's only one true God, and he is God Almighty. And there's nothing that compares to him. We can't measure him. Height, depth, width, we can't measure him. And there's only one of them. And he loves you. I'll tell you what. I'll receive financial blessings and pay my bills and provide for my family and give to the church, amen, and give to the poor and give to missions, etc. I'll do that based on the fact that he loves me. But yet, you should see all the scriptures I brought, but, you know, doesn't matter. We don't have to assume. We'll come back another time. But just think about that for a second. Whew. He tells us to give. Well, God so loved the world that he gave. But he that spared not his own son, was there anything of greater value to God the Father? He who spared not his own son, but freely gave him up for us all, how shall he not also with him give you all things? Give you all things. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Amen? Amen. Faith begins where the will of God is known. And I tell you, when you know the will of God on any subject in the Bible, you will have confidence in prayer. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatsoever we ask, we know that we have obtained the request made of Him. Glory to God. Glory to God. Okay. The last point, I said 4 points. Provide for your family. Establish His covenant. Give to the poor. And give in obedience to Him. And I'll end with this little story. I've got my points I want to give. But I told my testimony how I was led to the Lord. This lady came to my hospital room, knocked on the door, and said, "How would you like to end your life today without dying physically and start brand new with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?" And I said, "Yes." Well, I went to the chapel, prayed, received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. She called her husband. Her husband came down to the hospital, and she said, "Look who's coming home with us." And he was, I thought he was an old man. I was 19. He was 29. And he said, "Okay, he'll come home with us." And they had a one-bedroom farmhouse, and they had expanded the attic, but they had the duck up there, and they made some rooms up there. And so they gave me the bedroom on the main floor. I was a total stranger. I was a hippie drug addict, and they took me in. I smoked cigarettes, and I said, "I'm sorry about this." And they said, "Well, you'll quit. You'll quit. We know you'll quit. The Holy Spirit will convict you, and you will probably be so miserable that you'll quit." And so they were just starting a business. And they had this little farmhouse they were renting, and it had a little shed. And so the man used to work for an elevator company in Minneapolis, and the young couple started making their own elevators, lifts, you know, Otis kind. And so they began to, they established a company called Minnesota Elevator. But the priority in their life, they worked diligently. Oh, yes, oh my gosh, yeah, okay. The priority in their life was reaching people for Jesus Christ. And they reached me. They had just gotten saved themselves in a Billy Graham rally. They went to a Methodist church, didn't know anything of the word, really. Just, you know, Billy Graham said, "Tell somebody," so they told me. And then they said, "You can't live in this thing that I lived in, place that I lived." And took me into their home, gave me the bedroom, and began their company. That was 43 years ago. That was 49 years ago. 49 years ago. Every year, their business prospered. But they spent, they considered themselves in full-time ministry, but he was out working every day, all day. He worked a full day, and she ran around and did things for the church and preached to people and prayed for people and let the husband know who's coming home for dinner. But he went along with it, and they took me in for a few weeks, and then brought me up to a halfway house in Minneapolis on Park Avenue and Lake Street, and dropped me off and with the Jesus People Church. But I didn't mean to get into all of that. But then they took my brother in after that. My younger brother got saved on the street in Mankato, and they brought him in for 2 years in their home. He was flunking out of everything, on drugs, totally gone, and got straight A's, lettered in every sport, because of the renewing of the mind and the quickening of the body. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise God. And so they did that. And the meantime, they read in the paper somebody had a person was drinking, passed out in his truck in Minnesota winter, froze off all his toes and all his fingers. And so they took him in to heal him a couple of years. Total stranger, not a Christian, just took him in. He was a hippie, and they took him in. And they got him saved, got him filled. And they've been doing it for 49 years, and they went from the one-bedroom farm home to an 8,000-square-foot log home on a lake, which he wasn't interested in, but she liked it because it was like a retreat thing, and they had an elevator in the house. And they have continued to prosper. He has 300 employees. He's 79. I'm 69. He's 10 years older. He's 79. He does, and this is why I said all this, what he does full-time, he still owns the company, but he doesn't have to go in, but he does because he's interested. Why are you doing that? And they bought all kinds of places all over the United States, different other companies. He full-time goes everywhere preaching the gospel. He doesn't call himself a preacher. I've tried to get him into an organization, get him licensed and ordained. He doesn't want it. He said, that stuff's not important. He said, I'm going to talk to people. They have compassion, kids all over the world. And millions and millions and millions of dollars that he doesn't care about, doesn't think about it, but he enjoys it. But he'd rather go to India and ride on the back of a motorcycle, little scooter, and go tell his testimony in the mountains. And 79 years old, he hikes the mountains in India and all over the place. But see, that's the motivation. I'll tell you one other thing he does, just to give a little bit of his character. This Wednesday, he just texted Dean, as a friend of mine from way back. He lived at their house. Texted Dean and I, which he does every so many months when he's in town. He travels a lot. He said, how would you like to have lunch together on Thursday? And Dean couldn't do it Thursday, so we're doing it Wednesday. We're having lunch. John will get up at his home in Waterville, and he will make a meal for us, Dean and I. He'd get up at 5 in the morning in Waterville. He's a multimillionaire. He doesn't need to spend his time on us. He won't let me pay at the restaurant. He won't. One time I beat him at Porter Creek. I grabbed that thing, and then I looked at it. Oh, my gosh, I should give it back. But he cooks us a meal, and he has a big thing that he keeps things hot. He has dessert, everything. Comes and picks me up in Burnsville, and then we drive up to Brooklyn Center, and we have lunch with Dean, and we talk about Jesus, and we pray together. And that's, let's stand up. But that's, you know, he said, I can go anywhere and I can do anything, but I don't go a lot of places and do anything unless there's a God reason. But he is married, and he kind of does vacations because he feels his wife needs vacations, so he does that. And but I missed a lot of things in my notes. You see me? Oh my gosh! I had 4 points in a poem, but I didn't really have a poem. But you know, God wants to bless you financially, and all of us are in different walks of life and different ages in our life, but we all need what thus saith the Lord. You believe me if I say to you, I have a sheet, I don't know how many verses that God has made promises to us about finances. And we can take those to God in prayer. But I will add this, is that many of the promises have conditions. Many of the, I used to just read the promises at our church in Savage. Because I love the promises, and they make you feel good, and they make you happy. But, you know, the I want to encourage us that we not only can know the promises, and I'm not talking about memorizing, I'm talking about just knowing them. And if you know the Word of God, those scriptures will just come up when you're praying. They'll come up when you're talking to somebody. They'll just come out of your heart. The Word of God says, blah, blah, blah. And it'll be a blessing to somebody. But I want to encourage us at the end here that we can, first of all, we have faith. We have faith. Say, I have faith.
I have faith.
Say, I have faith.
I have faith.
We have faith. And we have a good heart. And if we don't, God will show us. God will show us. And that's why I didn't give those preachers names. I did that on purpose. Because I don't know their heart. God knows their heart. I don't know if they've changed since I last heard. Because I said something last time I preached that I hope nobody remembers. But I'm not going to remind you either. But I went home and went, what? I said that? Where did that come from? But we grow and we learn. I have an encouragement page that says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen? God is in us. God is for us. God is never against us. Never. The devil is a liar. There is no condemnation for us. Oh, hallelujah. There's no wrath for us. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, rather than, you know, I'll just, next time I'll share a little bit if the Lord and senior pastor permits. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, I shouldn't have said that. Sorry. God is good. God is good. All different walks of life here. All different ages, like I said, and experiences. But God wants you to be able to come to Him with such confidence and with such a personal relationship with Him. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Aren't you glad? Megan, aren't you glad that God has kept you? And you're sitting in church tonight? No. One second. Hallelujah. God is so good.